One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were live from the Lansdowne Pub in Cheltenham. A bit of a scene setter for the festival. We'll be on course tomorrow, bringing you live racing and more. But for today, we caught up with a comedian called Nick Page, a local guy, told us what it's like to be living in Cheltenham when the festival's on. He was on good form.
Yeah, we had Escalado.
Yeah, we had some live racing. We were very lucky. I've had Ed Chamberlain intro into the race from ITV and Rupert Bell to commentate. And then we had a bit of a racing chat with our commentary team, who'll be bringing us all the live racing throughout the week. That's Rupert Bell and the former jockey Lizzie Kelly, and her little lad Hugo joined in a couple of times. So you'll hear all of that. Here it is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. And here we are back at Cheltenham.
Oh, it's very
after
exciting.
A year's hiatus,
well,
of course.
We're back in a pub in Cheltenham.
We're back in a pub in Cheltenham. That's
it's
right.
A nice
still,
pub, though.
It is a nice pub.
Yes,
all the tables have got names of sporting stars on them. Our assistant producer is sitting at Martin Johnson's table. We've got the late, great Muhammad Ali's table.
He used to love coming in here
did
for a pint.
Did he pop him?
Yeah, always.
Half a lager?
He did.
We've got Boris Becker behind us as well.
So than Boris Johnson.
It's a lovely thing.
Our new club chairman.
Yes.
Marvellous.
That's right. But like having Batesy back, won't it?
Yeah. Honestly. Anyway, we should talk a bit about football because I went to two games on the weekend. It'd be
well
a terrible
done.
Waste if I didn't talk about it at all. It was at Brentford on Saturday. Good win for them. Christian Eriksen, so many touches of class, not just the cross for the goal.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful player.
He is.
There was a great moment, though. Pre-game, they held up, I don't know if you saw yellow and blue placards
in support
of the Ukraine. But late in the second half, a Burnley player was booked and spontaneously they all held up their yellow cards. I thought it was pretty good.
Got some more use out of
it. Got some more use out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then to Sunday to the Bridge, where never seen so many depressed looking people worried.
Yeah.
People's faces were really worried.
Yeah, noticeably.
And there's been so much noise and so much nonsense. I mean, some fair-minded journalists have said, I think it was the 66th minute, a few people tried to get the Roman Abramovich chant going and they shut it down.
Yeah.
And the bloke next to me is normally quite loud, just said to me, it's not a good optic, this is not the time for this. And he was right, it isn't. And so I think that was... I did have an idea, though, on Saturday night. I said to the wife, I think I'll ring up Chelsea and say, can I use Roman's private box tomorrow? Because he won't be using it.
Was there anybody in there?
No, nobody's in there. And I thought, this could be a good thing. Like, every week, a fan in the new regime could get to use the box.
Yeah.
I
imagine they'll sell it on at some point. The new
owners,
hospitality, they won't leave it.
Of course, there was no food there.
No, okay, fair enough. But there was food and drink for the fans.
Oh, yeah.
There,
so,
you know.
You had to bring your own sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
Private
box. They wouldn't let you in.
And, it was a funny performance from referee David Coote, who gave Chelsea the two biggest decisions of the game, not to send off Havertz and the penalty, which probably was a penalty.
Yeah, it was, I thought.
But then gave every other decision throughout their whole 90 minutes to Newcastle. It was an incredibly irritating performance, apart from the two key points. I can understand why Newcastle were a bit unhappy about it afterwards. But
I had a sensational footballing weekend as well. A man who will sadly be joining us very shortly. We'll have a good look back at all the football this weekend.
It was a mad game, the Spurs game. It was basically Ronaldo 3, Spurs 2.
Yeah.
I mean, Spurs were the better team in that game, I thought.
They just annoyed him by last week. That dodgy hip and a couple of days in Portugal seems to have... He's even got Tom Brady out of retirement. You watch him for an hour and a half and you think, life's too short, and he comes out of retirement.
He's too old,
isn't he?
Give it a break
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yes. Anyway, the big story for me this weekend was that Jamie Vardy tried to buy a penguin.
Did he?
Yeah, not a real one. Apparently, yeah, Jamie Vardy tried to buy a penguin. We were told Hannah Hope had this exclusive.
They were going to call it Colleen.
Nice. Tried to buy a penguin for the family because they thought it looked cute. And there's another example of you can't use the word penguin again.
Yeah
the animal loving striker researched how to get hold of one of the protected aquatic creatures.
Of course they are.
But apparently he said we haven't bought one. I've not purchased one. He said, well, that's good news, isn't it? Because I think it's a massively good idea, just to, you know, penguins for life, not just for Christmas. And he said, while researching it, I did find out you can buy giraffes and all sorts of things legally. I said,
really?
Sure, Jamie. Can you buy a giraffe legally? Where'd you?
Well, I suppose
turn up on Amazon. Imagine that being thrown over your back fence.
I mean, I suppose you could get a license to get one. But, I mean, what would you want a giraffe
where'd you
for?
Pick? Would you get a giraffe license
tall
from?
Trees. You need
would you start to contact? But anyway, Jamie. Jamie Vardy.
Giraffe license.
Giraffe who?
Giraffe Martin.
Giraffe Stelling. What's the matter with you? It's got a whole week of this.
I know. I've got to warm up.
Anyway, I don't know where it leads us, but I just thought I'd let you know Jamie Vardy thought about buying a penguin. He might have made a difference yesterday in the Arsenal game, but of course, alas,
no,
he wasn't there.
So.
They are playing
not
rather,
the way they defend from corners.
They are playing so. Rather well, though, Arsenal, let's be honest.
Yes.
And that will be reflected, I'm sure, in our next chat. We'll have a good look back at all the football with a journalist friend of the show, Matt Scott, in a few moments' time. Johnny May will be here, a local man, of course.
You want to set up Les the Boots, the Australian jockey?
Shall we do that later?
All right, then.
We'll do that later. Yeah, more from Les Boots later on. But we'll have live racing, Escalado. We need horses. So just think of something in the news. Keep it light, obviously. But we're looking for just items in the news. We may even have kicked you off with one in the last few minutes. But little stories in the news that might suggest the name of a racehorse. And then we will put your name. You will be the owner of that horse. One of six horses. Or was it five? Five horses that will be running in the Escalado Stakes with Rupert Bell. Hopefully Ed Chamberlain will be doing all the setup.
There were going to be six, but the going isn't right.
It's not quite. One of them's pulled out. So we just want fictional names of racehorses. You get the idea, I'm sure. Send them into talksport.com/H&J. Text them to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ. That's TSHANDJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, it's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs, live from the Lansdowne Pub in Cheltenham, our pre-festival show. We're good friends at Green King and Paddy Power. And in the second hour of the show, Ruby Walsh will be joining us. The winning most, it's a strange word, but you can't think of a better one. The winning most jockey.
Most successful, I would have said.
Yeah, that's probably better. At Cheltenham funny. And we'll be chatting to him a little bit later on. Johnny May joins us as well, Gloucester and England wing.
That sounds like Johnny May join us.
Yeah, Johnny,
if he's in the mood
it depends
or not.
He's
he
not
might,
promising
he not.
No, I think he has actually promised he will
okay,
be here.
Good.
So we can look back on the Six Nations with Johnny later on. But before all of that, we were reading today, I mean it was a real blow to the local economy, the fact that
there were no crowds at Cheltenham last year, because it makes a difference of £100 million, they think, to the local economy, the Cheltenham Festival, which is huge. But what is, what's it like to be a local, somebody who was born here and lived here all their life? Well, we can find out now, because comedian Nick Page is with us. Nick, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure. We're talking talk a bit about you, and I mean, people may remember you from Britain's Got Talent, which you did a few years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that, what was that? I mean, that's interesting, because you've been a comedian for a long time and you were sort of working on the circuit. So what made you kind of do that TV show?
They kept asking me to do it.
Right.
And a friend of mine had done it the year before and got good stuff out of doing it. So I thought I would give it a try. And then you've got to go and pretend that you've queued up and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's good exposure, though.
It's weird. For about 6 months at the time, it's bad exposure. And then afterwards, it gives people that are booking corporate things a reason to book you. Yeah, it works out long term, which is what I expected.
So no regrets. It was the right thing to do.
I got loads of abuse online with people explaining to me what I look like. There is like a top five of what I look like. I look like a dodgy estate agent off of Midsummer Murders that you think did the murder but then gets murdered. I look like fat Nick Knowles. I look like ordinary Nick Knowles. I look like Walsh. That's the most accurate, I think.
People are cruel, aren't they? Can't they just say, Nick, you were great, well done, unlucky?
No. It's most important to go, well, I've never heard of him. That's like with anything at all.
God dear me, what a world we live
None
in.
None of them would have said that to your face, you know that, don't you?
Yes.
Very much know that.
They would have just said. Oh, we really enjoyed your performance.
Oh, you were so good. People don't realise that on a lot of these shows, it's not, I mean, I know somebody else, so I found it via a friend, and this guy was asked to go on, I think it was on Britain's Got Talent many years ago. His act was an interesting one, because basically he breaks wind.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I remember him.
Yes.
Mr. Methane.
Yeah. And I think Mr. Methane was invited on many times and wasn't keen, and in the end decided to do it. So they asked him to go on.
Producers invited him to the box this year, and we're only in a small box.
We're only in a small box. We can keep the windows open. But he was invited to go along, and then he did what he did. You know, he did even. They knew what he was going to do. And he got absolutely slaughtered. They're going, that's disgusting. And they just turned on him. They invited me here, for goodness sake.
Yeah, it's a bit harsh.
And then they do that to me. Anyway, you said you are Cheltenham local. So you've known the festival man and boy. I mean, it's got so much bigger,
It's got huge. So when I was a kid, we lived just down the road from the racecourse, and I didn't realise people had to pay to go. I thought everyone just cut through the allotments, because we'd go up there on a Sunday and like play in the fields around it and jump over the jumps and dam the streams and all that stuff. And then you realise that it's a big thing for some people, and that half the population of County Cork comes over here.
It's great though.
Is it a bit like Edinburgh in the festival? Do a lot of people get out of Cheltenham during this week if they can or not?
Some people definitely will move out and rent out their houses for way too much money. And then a lot of people move in for the week.
You know? Yeah. Do you enjoy it or not? Or is it all being too close to home?
Well, you want a million.
But are you obviously not working for the Cheltenham Marketing Board this week? They haven't brought you in.
Yeah. But we were here for the November meeting, and it's completely different. Just like Cheltenham is a normal sort of place, but people do rely on it.
Absolutely. It's a huge boost to the local economy. It's a big thing, and it's part of our identity as a town.
Yeah.
But there's a festival of some type pretty much every week in Cheltenham. There's the Science Festival, the Jazz Festival, the Literature Festival, another winter racing festival.
Yeah.
Something to do with steam. There's all kinds of stuff going on here all the time. So they
don't tell Alan they want to come to all of them.
Yes, he probably will. So you've not been in recent years. You've not gone down to the course.
No, I accidentally caught a train that had arrived full of race goers in 2020 and caught COVID.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so the train arrived. The fancy dress queues were outside. I realised I'd forgotten it was race week because I'd come in to catch a train to go to Bristol. And I sat on a train with my hands in the air trying not to touch anything. And, I definitely caught COVID there. That was it.
I'm just suddenly sitting here thinking people have almost certainly gone to Google Images to look at you, and they're now thinking, yeah, I can see what they meant about that after the ones you did at the top.
If you Google Alan Titchmarsh and Tommy Walsh and me and put all three images together, it's like one of those weird, like, gene meld things.
You've got an interesting sporting background, you were telling us. Your dad was very into rugby, which has kind of put you off a bit.
Well, he was one of those people that would arrive like an hour early for everything and then leave 20 minutes before the end. So every single rugby match I ever saw, I was freezing before it started and I never saw the final score because he wanted to leave before traffic. The school I went to was so full of, like, was so pro-rugby. We were sent there because there were England and Barbarians players teaching rugby there. If you asked to play soccer instead of rugby, your parents were brought in for a meeting because it was the 80s and the school was worried you might be gay. And that was like a big issue for them.
Wow.
I wish that was a joke.
Because he was Mr. Rugby, you sort of railed against it a little
bit.
Yeah,
I played hockey for a bit because he hated that.
Right.
And then I persuaded the school that I should be allowed to go shooting as my games option. And I used to spend Wednesday afternoons and Saturdays with an old retired guy sitting in a field drinking cider. Occasionally shooting at pigeons.
It's different country people, country
different
ways.
And village cricket too.
Oh, yeah, we'll come on to that in a minute. We'll have a chat about that shortly. So what was your route in then, Nick? Well, what got you into comedy? What was your life before comedy?
I worked in sales before.
Right.
Because Cheltenham's like the world's biggest village, you're never more than about four people away from someone who's either... They've had something built by one of my brothers. They've been thrown out of somewhere by either me or one of my brothers when we worked as bouncers. They've bought a car from me, or they were taught by my dad. And then anybody who's lived here for more than 20 years would have had one of those things happen.
Yes.
And I apologise to all of them.
So what did you... sold cars?
Cars, yeah.
Right, okay.
And then I was an estate agent for a brief while, and then I did my first comedy gig for a bet.
Right. It's often the way, isn't it? It's often the way,
comedy, to have all this life experience.
I think so, yeah. Well, I wasn't one of those people that wanted to be a comic because I'd watched loads of comedy. I was one of those people that continually screwed up their life and always had to tell stories and make excuses. Mm. And I think, you know, that comedy comes out of that.
Yeah.
Live badly and report back.
Did you have sort of comedy heroes? Were there people that you loved?
I love the way that Billy Connolly tells stories, and that's always been a huge inspiration for me. One of the few sort of, you know, celebs that I've been sad about the death of was Sean Locke, even though I didn't know him.
Because
my favourite ever joke was one of his, which is about his family pooling together to get him vouchers for Christmas so he could have therapy. And so I didn't want therapy. I wanted a crossbow. It's just my favourite joke because you just got to fill in all the gaps yourself.
No, he was a brilliant, brilliant comedian. We're going to keep chatting very shortly with Nick, and he has got this story of how he nearly roped a late great star into his village cricket team. He'll be telling us more about that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, good afternoon. Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport, live from the Lansdowne Pub, a Green King pub in Cheltenham. We'll be on the course tomorrow to bring you lots of live racing and lots more besides. Still to come this afternoon in this hour, Johnny May joins us, Gloucester in England, and Ruby Walsh, the great Ruby Walsh, joins us to look ahead to day one of the festival. But we're with comedian Nick Page. Nick is a local lad, and so he's been giving us a little bit of local knowledge and telling us how people from Cheltenham view the festival. I was reading, Nick, doing a little bit of research for our chat, that Andy talked about life experience, and I found an old piece from one of the papers that said, life for after Britain's Got Talent for Nick Page, from seven ex-fiancés to having a baby at 50. And that's a grabber of a headline there, isn't it? So I read on. But becoming a dad at 50, how's it been?
It's been all right.
Yeah.
Like, everyone... Like the first few weeks is grim.
It's quite daunting.
That's the same for anybody.
It's daunting, isn't it?
At the same time, people are like, well, you know, sleep when the baby sleeps, which is great. Yeah. I'm very happy to have six naps a day.
Yeah.
At 50, I've got to get up a few times in the night anyway. So I just like, baby wakes up, have a wee, put the baby back to sleep, have another wee. That's, you know, he and I are on a similar schedule. He's 18 months now.
All right. Wow.
And he's massive. Yeah, like everybody's always very proud of their kid. And
of course.
But yeah, I think he's very advanced. He drove me here.
I suppose in lockdown as well, it was good because if you were out gigging, you wouldn't have sort of been there.
I was supposed to be doing a lot of overseas gigs, and I would have been away for like half of his first year. So.
Right.
But yeah, it was a bit of a come down. From like January the 1st, 2020, was when my wife discovered she was pregnant. We were like, this is going to be the best year ever. come March, yeah. The pandemic's like, about that.
Yeah, exactly. Seven ex-fiancés. I mean, that's a stomach.
Some of them are more serious than others.
You say you overcommit, you were saying. That's your issue.
Yeah, well, I'm bad at arguing, and I know a jeweller. So, fiancé.
Yes, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Now, you were telling us that you tried to get a cricket team off the ground.
Oh, yeah. Well, I discovered that an international cricketer had moved into our village. And I thought, even though everyone else in the village is about 100 years old, between me and him, we can probably win a few matches.
Yes.
And it's worth having a go. So I wrote to Shane Warne and suggested that we get together and start the team. And he could not have been less enthusiastic about the idea.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You actually did drop him a line, did you?
Or? Yeah, and then like a couple of weeks later when I made friends with his now ex, I mentioned it and again... was not at all
wasn't
keen.
Wasn't keen.
No.
He was the fifth amongst the top five cricketers of all time. You can imagine.
Well, I discovered this now. Yes.
Wouldn't be ideal for him.
I thought it'd be nice just to keep his hand in a little bit during his retirement. But he was busy doing other stuff, you know, advertising wigs and things.
It wouldn't have taken long, though, would it? It wouldn't have taken long for, nine other players to want to play with Shane Warne. They would have.
There would probably be people that would have bought houses nearby to be on that team.
They probably would have done, yes.
I was in Australia doing one of the comedy festivals out there in Perth, and there was a new stadium opened in Perth, and there was going to be a big exhibition match. And some of the Aussie comics that we were with were like, mad cricket fans and were really upset they couldn't get tickets. And so I quite cheekily sent a text to sort of get, is there any chance you can get a couple of the lads in? Yeah. And he was like, yeah, no problem. If they turn up to this gate and sort of say this code word, there'll be tickets for them. But for whatever reason, the people at the gate were expecting Shane Warne to turn up with these Aussie comics.
Oh, okay.
And he said, so they got treated like royalty. They got, put in a box, free drinks all day.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So, he was it'd really be good of him to sort that out from the other side of the world.
That sounds, from whatever, there's been a lot of great stories about him, sadly, since he passed away. Yeah. And a lot of people have said very similar things, really generous guy, yes. Really decent guy, and nice guy.
A lovely thing from an Aussie comic who lives over here now, saying when he was about to move over here about 7 years ago, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, he was in the departures lounge at Sydney Airport, and the last person he saw there was Shane Warne. And he said a little bit of him, emotional. He'd had a couple of drinks while he was waiting. Thought, have they sent him to see me off? And it was like his job as like the greatest living Australian was to see off any Australian he was moving away permanently. Yeah,
that would be a nice touch, wouldn't
it? Yeah,
it would
be lovely.
Get by the
departure
gate and say, sorry to see you go, mate. Well, I hope you come back soon.
But with him gone and Steve Irwin gone, like, who would it be next?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Although, Andy's a big Neighbours fan.
And
he's a Chelsea and Neighbours fan, so it wasn't a good week for
apparently,
him last
apparently
week.
Apparently, have they done the last episode?
No, what's happened, though? I was telling the boys this morning, some of the actors, their contracts would normally have been renewed, but they're done before the actual series ends, so they've got to be written out. So they don't want to sort of give them a short term.
Yeah.
So three people are going for no reason at all.
How are they going to get rid of them?
They're going to move to Brisbane. That's what everybody always did.
Darwin,
right.
Yeah. That's what will happen.
Is it true that Kylie's coming back for the last episode?
So they say. Yeah.
Harold Bishop is as well, apparently.
Harold
Bishop. He's coming back.
Spitting image of my dad.
Wait, really, is he?
Yeah.
Can he wobble, your dad?
Oh, yeah. God, yes. Yeah, very much so.
So you'll keep away. I say you live just on the outskirts these days.
Yes.
You will keep away from the centre of town.
Absolutely. Well, after my mishap 2 years ago where I accidentally got involved in the races and caught COVID,
yes.
I will 100% be avoiding it.
Right, okay.
That's fair enough. Really.
And comedy-wise, it's back in full flow after everything?
Yeah,
venues are open?
It's gone stupid.
Do you think people are wanting to go out and see more live comedy because they were robbed of it for a while?
Yeah, people, for last summer when we had the sort of the little bit of a break, people were mad keen for it, and it was lovely because you had 90% of the people were just super enthusiastic to be out, and 10% of people had forgotten how to behave in public. They couldn't conceive of like half an hour where they weren't looking at their phones, whatever else they were doing.
Yeah.
But the other 90% were just really into it because it was something different. It was something.
Is there a local comedy scene, or do you have to travel everywhere?
There's a lot of good stuff locally. So I mean, I've been fortunate enough to perform in Cheltenham 3 times in the last month, as well as all the other stuff. But a jobbing comic like me gets used to doing 500 to 1,000 miles a week when wow. they're in the country, and then you know, as much overseas stuff as I can squeeze in.
Yeah. Do you think, as you said, that was interesting. Of course, Charlie Baker, who works, as Charlie said, similar yeah. things. Since people have come back, he's noticed there's a boldness about some crowds. Yes. Maybe, as you said, because they just want to get it off their chest. I don't know. Yeah.
But also, you see people that are sort of out for the first time, people who've... Because like 2.5 years of lockdown and mucking about, right? Well, two years of lockdowns and mucking about. So people that were, you know, 17 and 19 now and are just starting to venture out, they've lost 2 years of socialisation.
Wow.
You know, it's like if you keep a dog locked up for too long, it's going to bark yeah. a lot when it meets yeah. other dogs. And teenagers are the same, it turns
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Difficult.
So where can we see you then, Nick? Where can we see you up next?
I've got some stuff going. I'm in Bristol at the weekend. I'm doing a couple of private functions in the Forest of Dean, and then the usual comedy clubs. So Jonglers have relaunched, so I'm doing some of those. Keep an eye on their website. My website is nickpagecomedy.co.uk, and I'm really bad at updating it. Friend of mine
welcome
hacked it.
Welcome to Edinburgh 2017.
Yeah.
A friend of mine hacked it, and for a year, if you went to my website, you would just link to a Japanese bra company. And I thought it was too funny to change it, so I didn't bother.
That probably was part of the act, probably, yes. I would imagine. Yeah.
It could have been my brother in revenge, because a few years ago, I listed his house as a bed and breakfast for race week when he was living in the central Cheltenham. So about 11 o'clock one night, there was a knock on his door, and it's four guys going, the guy said we could just come for the bed and breakfast. He's like, what are you on about? And printed leaflets. And it only cost 40 quid to print 1,000 leaflets, and another 40
elaborate.
Quid to get someone to hand them out.
Wonderfully elaborate, practical joke.
Yeah. Yes, but late bookings well. Welcomed, 24-hour reception. It took about 4 years before people stopped turning up at his door.
Oh, no. So, almost certainly him then, I would imagine. It must be down to him. Well, it's been lovely to see you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for
having me. Thank you very much for coming along. And
enjoy the races.
Yes, we will.
It's a novelty for us. You've got enough hand gel, so...
Yes, we're laughing.
Keep drinking that so you won't overpay for your pens.
You'll be clean inside and out. So there we are.
Yeah, don't catch anything.
Yeah, so we'll do our best. Nick, thank you.
thank you very much.
Nick Page there. Our thanks to him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, of course, officially the racing doesn't get underway at Cheltenham until tomorrow, but we're delighted to say we can bring you some live racing.
Very exciting.
Now.
Wait for the roar when it goes off. It's the Lansdowne roar, they call it.
They certainly do. It's going to be immense. It's the Escalado Stakes. You may remember the very popular kids game, horse racing game. Now, back in the day, the horses were made of lead. But they don't make stuff out of lead anymore.
It's unfortunate.
For good reason. But they are now plastic. But it's great that the game survives. It's an old analogue game in a digital world. Ed Chamberlain has stuck around. Of course, ITV host for the Cheltenham Festival.
It'd be great if Ruby had that.
This is not one of Ruby's gizmos, is it?
It looks a little bit more expensive than an ITV budget gadget.
Are you familiar with this, Ed, this game, Escalado?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow. It was probably
I've never seen it before
time.
In my life.
It's a great game at home.
We used to have that board game. I thought that's what you were talking about. This is something completely different.
Roll balls. Is that
That's a different one.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a proper fairground game.
Oh, bowls. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that'd be bowls, yeah.
This one's got a handle at the end of it. I'm just trying to...
Escalado, basically, they're three not lead horses, five not lead horses there on a plastic track, put on a table, and they're bolted to each end of the table. And as you turn the handle, the horses move.
Miraculously.
The horses move along.
Yes,
and you
they
get
do.
Quite an exciting race.
I quite fancy Orange. Orange looks extremely well from here.
Wow. Let me tell you the runners and riders. Rupert Bell is going to be commentating. Good afternoon, Rupert. Lovely to see you.
Good afternoon. I feel this sets up my week absolutely.
It does. It's the only way is up after this. So let's give you the runners and riders. In light blue, we have Jamie's Penguin. This is because we read at the weekend that Jamie Vardy has been trying to buy a penguin. No, seriously, he has. In orange, we've got Neighbours.
Neighbours,
a horsey theme for a show that sadly won't be on the air. So if you gave us these horses, folks, thank you very much for that. We will be announcing the winning trainer after the race is done. Sir Johnny Weaver, the infamous character from the birthday spread, he's in red.
It's because I pronounce Sojourney, Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver is Sir Johnny Weaver.
I call it Sir Johnny Weaver.
It's Sir Johnny Weaver's birthday. Good old Sir Johnny. he'll be
And it made the gag work, but it was wrong.
Sir Johnny will be flying in his chopper tomorrow.
Alan, Sir Johnny.
Yeah. Great to see Sir Johnny.
We're in Sir Johnny's box.
Yeah, great. In yellow, seven-seater. This is Thomas Tuchel said they'll get to the next game in the old seven-seater. He doesn't mind driving. And in green,
it's not seven aside. How are they going to do
well,
that?
Well, I don't know.
He hasn't thought that through.
Struggling to get a team out. In green, it's Alan's alarm clock for obvious reasons.
Yes.
So, Rupert, are you happy with all those names?
Well, I was trying to work. Thank you for illuminating me about Sir Johnny Weaver, because I was trying to work that one
you
out.
You thought you knew him, didn't you?
Oh, said, yes, sir.
You went to school with him.
Yeah, he probably did. Well,
thank you very much. Actually, I did.
Almost certainly did. So, Rupert, so you're going to be calling them, aren't you, for
well,
us?
Well, as long as I can remember them, okay. I'll do my best.
Fantastic.
And, so you need to give them a colour, don't you?
You've done all that.
But this is radio, so I don't need to do Richard Hoyle.
We could just make it up, actually.
Yeah. Well, actually, funnily enough, that happens in real time during next week.
Well, Ed, as we've got you here, I mean, before a big race, you would cross from your top team to the commentary position. So maybe you'd like to take us to this next race.
You try and come up with a catchy line. So this would be the inaugural running of the Escalado Stakes, sponsored by TalkSport. And your big race caller is Rupert Bell.
Oh, nice.
And like the starter, Jamie, has just moved to the rostrum and he's ready with his... What is it? His wand. Anyway, here we go. That's a good start. Anyway, right. Okay, off you go, and they're off and running, and it's a very level break. I think Jamie's Penguin might just have it. A little bit off the pace is Alan's alarm clock, but there's no surprise there. Trying to pick up is Sir Johnny Weaver, but this race appears alien to him at the moment. But still out in front is Jamie's Pink Penguin. We haven't heard much of Neighbours. He's struggling at the moment. Oh, but Sir Jamie's Penguin's veering horribly offline, and coming up on the far side is seven-seater. Seven-seater's going to get there, because wandering in the final stages is Jamie's Penguin, has just waddled after the race and off the pitch.
Oh, what about that? He's doing it. It's like James Brown. Not been led from the box.
Seven-seater's just been sanctioned.
Yeah.
Bad luck.
Well done to seven-seater. It was Michael Naylor who suggested that one. He is our winning trainer this afternoon. I think that was him, wasn't it? I think. Or no, it wasn't. It was Nick Lawton. I've completely destroyed it. It was Nick Lawton who gave us seven-seater. Well done, Nick. You're our winning owner this afternoon. And look, Kelly Jr.'s having a little wander. He liked Escalado. Mum's going to have to buy a set. We're going to have one of those at home. So there we are. Thank you, Rupert. I love the way that you threw yourself into that like it was the champion hurdle.
Tremendous, wasn't it?
Look, he's spent now. Look, he doesn't have to need a sit.
Lizzie's crying again. It's unbelievable.
Even at Escalado. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but Hugo's happy. That's the main thing.
He certainly so is. Sweet.
Well, we'll have a chat with Lizzie and Rupert very, very shortly. But for now, Ed, look, above and beyond, thank you for sticking around.
You've got better things
to do than this, haven't you?
No, the Escalado is one of the big races of the season. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Worryingly for Grumpy Charlie, the orange came last.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. Well, look, we'll see you out and about for the next few days.
Look
hope all goes
it.
Well.
Thank you.
And we'll be watching around our broadcasting service.
Thank you, so much appreciated.
Good to
thank
see you.
You.
Thanks
Cheers.
Very much. Ed Chamberlain there, ITV Sports. Tomorrow at 10 to 1, they get underway earlier this year with their top team. Of course, we'll be bringing you lots of live racing with Rupert and Lizzie, and we're going to be chatting to them in a few moments' time. They can mark our card.
We can talk about
the life of the commentator, certainly.
Right behind, saying, can I do a selfie like as we're broadcasting?
No problem. What used to happen at Cheltenham, of course, is that we'd be sitting on a table broadcasting, and some of Paddy's punters would come along and just start throwing £10 notes at us, saying, "Hey,
can I have a bet on
a number three in the next race?"
And I did very well out of it.
It was quite tempting. It was quite tempting not to take
win.
It. Yeah, it was quite tempting, but we had to say no, mate. We're brought on a radio presenters. We're not bookies.
Oh, yes.
So, well, I say we're not bookies, but we wouldn't have had a clue. So anyway, Rupert Bell, Lizzie Kelly joining us very, very shortly. And we'll get into the meat of it. We'll start looking at some of the races, the art of the commentator, and lots more.
Reddest face of the week competition.
Reddest face. We always have one of the competitions that you'll notice is Reddest Face of the Week. That'll be the job of Charlie Baker, who'll be out and about on the course tomorrow. So If you're coming racing, you may see Charlie about. Go and say hello. He may get you on air, as long as you're not too drunk, which does kind of limit the numbers as the day goes on.
It's nobody.
Really. Yeah, in the Guinness Village at 4 o'clock, it is a bit like Gin Alley, isn't it?
It is a bit.
It's a bit mad.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. 4 o'clock this afternoon, Adrian Durham and Dean Ashton will bring you Drive. We're just wrapping things up, more or less, here
at the
Lansdowne. It's been a fun afternoon, thanks to all our guests. Just to finish this afternoon, though, we'll chat to our commentary team. They're going to be bringing you 4 days of top racing from the festival tomorrow. Of course, Rupert Bell and the former jockey, Lizzie Kelly. Good to see you both.
Yeah, good to be here.
You brought Kelly Jr. in today, little Hugo. He's a little
sweet
rocker, isn't he? He was 15 months old. He's a big grinner. He's a big smiley boy.
He does like to sort of head around the place.
He's very sociable.
And come to see mum. He can come and sit in on this. He's got a chip. He's got a big old chip. He's come to see mum. Your chip, Hugo. Look at that big old chip he's got there.
Yeah, he's going to come and sit
in.
Block.
He is going to come and sit in. He can be on the radio, can't he?
He'll make more sense than me, that's for sure.
Well, that's true.
He will. He certainly will.
How long have you two been commentating together? Because it works so well together, doesn't it?
We came together this time last year.
Weren't you doing 2 years ago?
No.
Really?
No, Lizzie was...
Oh, no, Lizzie. No, we first met Lizzie in this pub 2 years ago, because on the Monday you said, I haven't got any rides this week, and then you got a ride on the Wednesday, didn't you?
They decided to run it in the end. They weren't going to run him, and then they decided to go for it, and they did, and I sort of wish they hadn't, because he fell at the second last, and I haven't been the same since.
But I was listening to you this morning. You've ridden a couple of winners, haven't you, at Cheltenham?
Yeah, so I've ridden 2 festival winners, and a handful of just normal challenge winners. But yeah, I was lucky enough to ride 2 festival winners.
What's it like riding at the festival when in a big crowd like that?
It's unreal. I mean, the 2 winners I had, one of them was favourite and the other was second favourite. And so there was obviously a lot of support on the race course as well. And it was just amazing. Like, it's, you know, so nerve-wracking. You have to be so conscious of being able to sort of hold yourself together mentally before the race. But once the race starts, you know, you're kind of in your happy place, I suppose. You're well able to react to what's going on around you, and all of those sort of external pressures, you know, go out of your brain. But of course, when they win, you know, and half the race course is back them.
Yeah.
It's unreal. The receptions that I got were just...
We've had a faller there.
Yeah,
he's early faller, but he's up and he's okay.
I think he's still eating the
chip.
They
bounce at that stage. You've got the technique his mum's taught him to bounce if he falls. And what about the horses, Lizzie? I mean, we've talked about this before. Some horses are completely thrown by big crowds, aren't they?
Yeah, some horses don't like it. They don't react particularly well. You see a lot of horses with earplugs or hoods, which all have... sort of noise quietening things in them to sort of try and get rid of that problem, but they'll fizz over and start sweating and just get really, really revved, which isn't ideal. It's certainly something you would look out for in the parade ring if you were, you know, having a look at the runners. But, you know, some of them will then go out onto the race course and be able to just, you know, perform.
Yeah.
And it, although they've got a bit warm in the sort of in the prelims, they're actually fine. I remember Notebook, one of the Gigginstown horses. He was a horse who was always so naughty in the prelims, to a point where he would almost get rid of the jockey. You know, he'd be really bad. But yeah, it does affect them in different ways.
Yeah.
Rupert, have you ever ridden a horse?
No.
Really?
No, I'm king of the Self-Preservation Society. I tell you what...
You've not done one of those charity ones?
I gave up riding after I fell off a pony.
Right.
And all my mother said, and this was in the 60s, and I was winded. And I thought, well, I didn't like this. So I did, and my mother said, stop lying on the ground like a footballer and get up.
A footballer in the 60s? Yeah. Obviously, you made a footballer's now. Wow.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, so...
You look like that Ron Harris guy there, she said. Yeah.
So I'm winded. And that
Ron
was
Harris's victim.
Yeah. So, and then after that, that, I just thought, well, this doesn't seem to be much fun. So my brother, actually, he did ride a winner at Cheltenham at one of, they have a Hunter Chase evening. So he actually did ride a winner at Cheltenham back in the early 80s. All my family rode except for me. And I'm now talking about horses all my life, even though
could be worse.
I love every minute. I love the horse, but I ain't just going to sit on it.
That's fair enough.
Rupert, we've been reading a lot about this extra day of the festival. Of course, you know, a lot of money was lost last year, and it would bring a lot into the economy and to the course. But I was reading a piece this week, and they were suggesting that the thing about Cheltenham is the quality of the racing. If you had, there aren't enough good horses out there to justify a fifth day. Would you agree with that?
Well, looking at the entries for some of the races this year, for the big races, the grade ones, the novice hurdles, and some of them in a race tomorrow evening's only got six in it, which is almost unheard of. So I do think there are questions of being enough good horses. We don't want to dilute it. It's a clearly it was 3 days, and people say, well, they actually said the same thing, we don't want it to go to four. I think five is just sending it a little too far. Yeah. And actually the point is it finishes on the Friday, and then racing's had its big moment in the shop window, because then we get ready for football again at the weekend and the rugby and everything else, and it's a sellout. So I know they want to make money, but please don't kill the golden goose.
No, yeah, I agree.
Do you agree, Lizzie?
I completely agree. And I think that this year we're seeing worrying sort of numbers of runners, which have been decreasing and decreasing. We're seeing races becoming less competitive because there are so many options. The Irish have a huge amount more runners than the English. Not that that should make a difference, but it shows that, you know, the English are sort of not, they're almost not able to compete, actually, really, at their biggest week.
Yeah.
Does it cost to enter? Does it cost?
It is expensive. Yeah. They are expensive races to run in.
But some people just don't care. They want to have a runner at Cheltenham, even if they've got a bit of a no-hoper. I have to say, Hugo's well trained for being in the pub. The way he was moving there, he looked like he'd had a very good Friday night.
Yeah. He just basically wanders across and he gets a chip, and then he wanders back like an old drunk with his chip, and he plays with a pen and he goes gets another chip. He's got it all sorted out. Fantastic. That's the way you got to live your life.
He knows we're talking about.
Off he goes back for another chip. Now. He's not even finished that one yet. I'll have one for later. Put one behind his ear.
He's very entertaining. You've got to bring him tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Better than my commentaries?
Yeah. I said after last year, we were saying earlier on to Ed that you two would be very pleased to have punters around you, to be in that throng where you commentate from, because you get a buzz, I'm sure, from that, don't you?
After last year. There was one, the funniest one was when I had this bloke standing behind me when Native River won the Gold Cup, and I just was transfixed with his, and he always goes to that same spot on Gold Cup day.
Right.
And he's tiny, can't see anything.
That's good if he's standing in front.
And he's craning his neck to look at the big screen, and he just went absolutely bonkers. So it is quite nice to have them. They're basically closer than Andy is to me. So Lizzie will be the other side, a little bit further away, but I will be taking it for the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked a lot about Rachel Blackmore, of course, who you know well, and that, you know, it would be great if she could have some special moments this year with crowds there, because she wasn't able to last year. But there's some stiff competition, isn't there, among the jockeys this year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she was really lucky to get on some of the horses that she perhaps wouldn't have ridden last year, like Sir Gerhard winning the Champion Bumper. The Irish use an amateur.
Yeah.
There were a couple of little things like that, horses moving from Gordon Elliott's after the whole thing with him happened. So they would have been rides that she wouldn't have necessarily had. But I completely agree with you. You know, Honeysuckle's the crowd reaction to Honeysuckle when she won at the Dublin Racing Festival was amazing. But Leopardstown hasn't got the same setup as Cheltenham does, with the way they've created the stands for that winner's reception. It's absolutely phenomenal. They definitely deserve it, and it would be really, really lovely to be able to see that happen.
Ed was saying earlier on, Rupert, that will be a moment. He says, I'll just step back and say nothing if Honeysuckle wins tomorrow.
I think that's what, because actually it will be a crowning moment, because she'll be 15 unbeaten, but it'll actually, this partnership of Rachel Blackmore and Honeysuckle has really reflected the rise of Rachel as well to pub public prominence. And that win in the champion hurdle last year was what then set off an extraordinary few weeks for her, culminating the Grand National. And she is just such a level-headed, lovely person. And she said, we did this documentary that went out last night, and one of the things, I don't think it made it cut, but what she says and makes her so grounded, she says, if I feel down, I put the tape of Lizzie crying on. Because it makes me feel good.
Great. Oh, that's nice.
That's
nice
really
to hear.
Lovely. It was a lovely moment. Yeah. A beautiful moment.
And you were out there on the course with Honeysuckle earlier on. He was having a little bit of grass.
I went to see the Queen of Cheltenham, as I think she is, and she was having a lovely little nibble at the grass. And as, you know, Ed was saying how beautiful it is. Because we've had a mild winter, people in the Cotswolds are cutting their lawns very early, including me. And the grass growth has been terrific, so it looks really good. I know that's a very sort of first world problem, but, you know, it is. Of course, you know, luckily I got my mower back the other day from the service people. So I got my first mow in before the Cheltenham Festival, which I don't think has happened before. So there you go.
There you go. You've done a lot of Cheltenham previews already, and
I've been cutting
out stuff.
You drive yourself mad.
Danny Mullins believes King George winner Tornado Flyer is the forgotten horse of the festival. Well, I'm thinking, Tornado Flyer.
Yeah, he writes everything down.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Okay. We get tips from both of you. Lizzie, is there anything you fancy this week? Is there a standout for you?
I mean, there are a few that I quite like. Before Midnight in the Grand Annual, Sam Thomas runner. I mean, all of these are each ways. Yeah. Burning Victory in the Mares, I'd probably back her to win, actually.
Right.
And Camprond in the Coral Cup each way as well.
Okay, well, there we go.
Now, are you going to be writing down as vociferously as you, Lizzie's, when it comes to my tips?
We can put our pens down now, Rupert.
I'm thinking, God, look at them. Now it's my turn. Okay.
No, relax.
Go on, Rupert, I'll write them down. I'm not really. I'll move my hand over.
That's very good.
Paisley Park, each way in the Stayers Hurdle. And then I like Langer Dan in the 5:30 on Friday.
Langer Dan, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be gone by then.
Andy's just not riding. I can't see you.
I'll give it to you later.
Yeah, give it to me later.
And just as a bit of fun, I think Tommy's Oscar is overpriced in the champion hurdle. And again, each way.
Fantastic.
I like a bit of overpriced.
We look forward to chatting you both tomorrow. Yeah. Rupert, thank you. Lizzie, thank you. Hugo, thank you. How's he getting on? Is he all right? Yeah, he's back for the chips. Another chip.
He's beginning to
want another
Lizzie
chip.
Run around.
Fantastic.
Well, that is us. We'll be live at the course tomorrow. Good. We have lots of top guests. As we said, Charlie Baker will be out and about on the course throughout the 3 hours, catching up with the punters and the celebs.
To the bookies.
That's right. He's going to be out and about. So a new addition to our coverage. We'll have, again, the guys commentating on four big races of the day. We do hope you can join us from one. Have a great evening, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks to everybody here at the Lansdowne.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Do hope you can join us tomorrow from one. Charlie Baker will be out and about on the course and chatting to the punters and more.
Get a little Hugo, she put the names of the horses all out on the floor.
And he can just
20
pick
walks towards, yeah, that'll be the one.
That's right. You might as well. As scientific as it gets. So anyway, do hope you can join us. We'll have a few top tips and some live racing, a lot more besides from one. Have a good evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.